We can have powerful trauma memories that just stick. And one element of the trauma memories are the agreements that we make with ourselves, kind of the behavioral prohibitions and rigidities that we put in place that are connected with the trauma experience.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, I am so excited to be here on another brand new episode and super, super excited. Little secret. Well, I guess it won't be a secret in a minute, will it? I've got one of my favorite return guests. I know she's one of your favorite guests just from the emails I get, comments, the downloads of her transcripts, the whole thing. I know she's one of your favorites too. And I'm so excited because she has a brand new workbook. They call it a workbook, but I know it's just got loads of book learning stuff in there too. And so I'm so excited. Welcome back, Sarah Payton. It's so thrilling to see you again.
Oh, always a pleasure. I've been looking forward to seeing you all day, Sharon.
Oh my gosh. And you're looking awesome. If you're on video, you can take a gander at us here. And let me just do a quick introduction for those of you who don't know who Sarah is. Her name is Sarah Payton. She's an author, constellation facilitator, certified nonviolent communication trainer, and neuroscience educator. And she integrates constellations, brain science, and the use of resonant, I had to practice saying that, language to heal trauma with exquisite and warm gentleness. You'll hear that for sure. And she teaches and lectures internationally. And even during this time, you know, Zoom is a great way to catch up with her. She is the author of the book, Your Resonant Self, Guided Meditations and Exercises to Engage Your Brain's Capacity for Healing. And her second book, now I normally don't do things that aren't evergreen, but when I heard her second book is coming out May 25th, I said, I got to share it with my audience because I know how much you guys love Sarah. So her second book is called The Your Resonant Self Workbook, but I've seen it and it's way more than a workbook, guys. But what I love about it is there are things for you to do immediately to integrate what you're reading into your system to get it locked in there. And it's all on the neuroscience of the unconscious contracts that constellations and so often help us disentangle. And it, like I said, it's coming out May 25th. So congratulations, Sarah.
Thank you, Sharon. I'm very excited.
Oh, and I am so excited because I know during the 6.5 years the Autoimmune Hour has been on, I knew you before the Autoimmune Hour. We've been friends for quite a long time, but I've just been along this joyride. I kind of feel like, an auntie or something, just joyously along for the ride, watching you grow and unfold and all of your wisdom come out for us to understand healing at this deep inner part. Because I know with your work and other work I've done with other experts, the biggest jump in my healing from the autoimmune came when I started not focusing solely on the physical. When you helped me become aware there's more to you than just, you know, the physical, like in my case, getting rid of the muscle weakness or the skin rash or whatever. And that's when the biggest jump happened. And your Resonant Self Workbook, we had a conversation on unconscious contracts. I don't know. A while ago.
Yeah, you were one of the first people that I talked about talked about unconscious contracts with.
Yeah, and that's really when I was going through the Your Resonant Self Workbook. To me, I thought, this is awesome. This is deeper and deeper than your first book. And untangling unconscious contracts. So as I was going through it, I have a quick question, because I know a lot of times it talks about like an unconscious contract with a family member, your mom, you know, something like that, which happens all the time. Boy, I've uncovered a few of mine. But can you have an unconscious contract with like parts of you, like your health?
And then we can have all, sort of all different kinds of contracts that impact health and well-being. And so like lots of levels. So we'll just start talking and we'll see which ones we discover. But what we want our audience to know, if they've never met me talking to you before about unconscious contracts, is that we make trauma-based agreements with ourselves that, and because the memory systems that are engaged in trauma are so powerful. So think about when you have PTSD or intrusive memory, it's like those memories are enshrined in some sort of protective glowing light and you can't get in there and change them. And every time that you try to work with the memory, it's like you get bounced out or you kind of get bounced in, and it's just the same. It's like, I know for years, when I was 16, I was in a car accident that I reran for years. It happened on the 4th of July. Every year I'd hear the fireworks every year. It would just like the intrusive memories would come back from the cues until I got the warm accompaniment and understanding and freed that traffic jam of memory that was inside of me. So we all know we can have powerful trauma memories that just stick. And one element of the trauma memories are the agreements that we make with ourselves, kind of the behavioral prohibitions and rigidities that we put in place that are connected with the trauma experience. Now, trauma experiences can be really big and single, like a car accident, or they can be smaller and continuing over years, like a difficult relationship with a parent can just be like drops of water over time. I was just watching The Crown today, and the abdicating prince, he's talking to his mother, you know, 50 years after he abdicated, and she says, "Your brother was the perfect child." And I was like, oh, ouch, ouch. Those are those drips that go in, you know, over and over again. Your mother always prioritizing your sibling. It's like you don't get to say, this is an enormous life trauma, because it happens day after day every time you talk to your mother.
Sometimes I don't think you recognize it. If it's part of your family structure and one parent's abusive, you may not really realize that that's not normal.
Right. It's the oxygen that you're breathing. It's the ocean you're swimming in.
Yeah. It was so funny. I was talking to a friend of mine I grew up with, and we just happened to reconnect over Facebook. And I was mentioning to them, you know, just like, how are you doing and all of this? And we should meet up and all of this. And I, as we were chatting that way, I began to realize there was a lot about their childhood that I was oblivious to.
Yeah. And then we come out of those like either big experiences or those drip, drip, drip traumas. And we have agreements with ourselves to try to survive them. So like if you always hear that your sibling was better than you, there's a kind of a resignation. Like I will always be resigned to never really being loved or celebrated is one possibility.
I've seen people where they do the I'll show you and go to the extreme of like maybe extreme sports or extreme. I mean, I've seen that where I'll show you kind of.
I'll prove it to you. Yeah. Yeah. You think I'm bad. You look at bad. You watch bad.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you think I'm bad, I can be really bad. Yeah.
Or if you think I'm bad or you don't think I'm good enough, I'm going to measure up and.
Yeah,
sibling got the master's, I'll get the double doctorate or something.
Yeah, I'll be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So we're driven, to some extent, we're driven and or paralyzed by these unconscious contracts that we make that are connected to and have the super glue effect of traumatic memory. So how do we change them? It turns out that if we give words to them, then we're actually shifting the way that our body experiences them. This is the cool thing about bodies, is that when we begin to let the body's messages be heard, then things change in the brain. The body has like lines of communication that are going up to the brain. I'm sad about this. I'm angry about this. I'm alone here. I'm terrified here. I can't do this anymore. And in order for the stress of the body carrying these messages, in order for that stress to be cleared and for the body to relax again, the stuff has to be turned into words. That's how brains work. When we turn stuff into words, it clears body experience. So if we have alarmed aloneness, and you and I have a beautiful show about alarmed aloneness, if we have experiences of alarmed aloneness and we've never mentioned it, then we might have several decades of alarmed aloneness stacked up in this body, which feels like anxiety and doesn't shift until somebody says to us, or we say to ourselves, do I need acknowledgement of alarmed aloneness? Yeah. And we go, yeah, heck yeah, I do, especially after this pandemic year. And boom, often there's like a whole softening and relaxation in a body that has been really tense for a really long time.
When you say that, a softening, but as I've experienced some of our times together, it's also a lightness. I mean, I feel lighter. If you know, like a spring in your step, mm-hmm. kind of, I don't know how to describe it. And also, it's so freeing. It's like something that you didn't want, you finally tossed to the trash heap, or, you know, whatever. It's interesting to me, all of the ways your body so quickly reacts to the words.
Yeah, and this circles us back around to that idea of how can we have unconscious contracts that impact our health, and how can we do work with any unconscious contracts we have that will help to lighten our body's burden of whatever ill health it is that it's struggling with. And everything that we do to create connection between our body and our warm resonating self-witness starts to improve the body's position and condition. No matter what illness we're struggling with, everything's going to be better and easier. So we may still be sick with our autoimmune disease, for example, but the way we carry it might be changed utterly, for example.
Well, as I started to explore the deeper beyond the physical, it did go, I remember this conversation well, it did go into remission, was the word they used.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't care what you call it. I feel good.
Yeah.
That's your label. You know, we're not going to label you healed, Sharon. You need to blah, blah, blah. And they start, you know, adding all these things. But for me, it was just their label. And I was able to get past their label of remission. But I think that's an interesting thing the things that I wanted to stay aware of as I was working through my unconscious contracts and practicing resonant language with myself, it would creep in these little tiny ways, like a white coat authority saying, well, you know, Sharon, congratulations, the blood work, blah, 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 blah. But you're not healed, you're in remission. That's when I started to wonder, can you have these unconscious contracts with your health, or is there something behind that?
Sure. Here are several layers that we're touching. And one is, you know, I will not be my own authority. You know, I will accept the authority of others.
Oh yeah, that's a strong one, especially, I guess, in my generation. And if they got that, what, air quotes, white coat on, that's
Yeah. And then we want to know, like, if that feels true to you, dear listeners, if this feels true to you, I will respect authority. I will never say no to authority. Just notice how that feels in your body. And for the part of me that has a I will respect authority vow, because I have one too, it almost feels like there's a fence going down that goes between my heart in a way and my capacity to have agency and will and make decisions for myself. So then my curiosity comes alive, and I invite everybody's curiosity to come alive with warmth. We don't, when we discover we have these contracts, we don't want to say to ourselves, Sarah, you suck. Why do you have this terrible contract?
Although that, I have to be honest, Sharon, but you know, sometimes You know, I have to cancel clear because that's sometimes it's the first thing that wanders through.
Yeah, me too. But then we can come back to our self-warmth. Yes. And we go, oh, I wonder why I have this contract. So then we say it aloud to ourselves, like, I promise myself, or I solemnly swear to myself that I will respect authority in order to, and the very first layer that comes up for me is to be a good girl.
It's a common one, isn't it?
Yeah. And if I go a little deeper, I will respect authority in order to, the next layer is to be safe and not be destroyed. Like, there's some way that the cells of my body perceive authority as having the power to destroy me. So then we get to...
Well, is that similar? Because the second one that came up for me was about being liked. I'm curious if that is sort of a self...
We're humans and we're very social and we love to be liked. It makes everything work better if we're liked. Our immune system works better if we're liked. Our brain works better if we're liked. Our ability to regulate our body temperature works better if we're liked. There are so many things that
are... Liked is different than destroyed.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. All right. Yeah, I got a little confused there.
Yeah. Well, there can be lots of different vows. I mean, yours will be different than mine. But if we're working with yours, and it was, I share and solemnly swear to my essential self that I will respect authority in order to be liked. Mm. And the next part is, no matter the cost to myself.
Yeah.
And we want to know if your body is like, yep, this is a vow.
Yeah, immediately, if you're on video, maybe can't see because I wear glasses, but little tear and a tightness in the chat. I mean, just hearing you say it, Sarah, and we're such good friends, that was a button. As our mutual friend Michael likes to say, you know, your panel was exposed and that button was pushed.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are so many listeners who are traveling right along with us here as we touch these things.
Yeah.
And so then we say, because now we've started to dialogue, we've started to name things with words that we've never named so explicitly before, which gives us a new kind of power that we've never had before. So we get to continue the dialogue and we get to say, essential self of Sharon, did you hear this vow that the little one made to you? The vow to be liked is the vow of a little one. Do you hear it?
Yes, very deeply. It's very deep.
Yeah.
When I went to listen to it, it was very deep.
Yeah. And so then we say, essential self of Sharon, do you want Sharon to keep this vow? Do you want her to keep this contract?
You know, the interesting thing when you say that, Sarah, that happens for me, and I'm sure it's different for everyone, was my first was a heck yes. I mean, I'm sorry, a heck no, but yes. I mean, I don't want to be disliked.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I wanted instead.
Yeah. And this is one of the things with the contract is it makes a rigid, like a rigid action consequence link that stops us from having fluid and emergent responses to the world. So what happens is with our blessing, we get to undo that link a little bit. So it might sound like this. Sharon, I release you from this contract and I revoke this vow. And instead, I give you the blessing to entirely disconnect the idea that liking is dependent upon being respectful.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Chills. Little up on the neck. My goodness, that's a quick autonomic response, isn't it?
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
That is amazing how, and I mean this very genuinely, how simple. And yes. But that, I mean, I hope you understand what I mean by that word, that it's not diminishing at all. But
yeah.
Wow. One quick sentence and I felt a major shift.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you said it for yourself, just so our listeners can hear it again, what would the blessing sound like in your own words?
Oh my goodness. Okay, I'll need a little bit of the script here. So
I release this vow and I revoke this contract.
So I need to use my first name or can I just say I?
You can do anything that feels right to you.
Okay, so I think I'd like to talk almost in third person in a way, if that works.
That's very good for the brain.
Sharon,
I release you from this contract.
I'm going to say I understand the contract. I release you from the contract.
And I revoke this vow.
And I revoke this vow.
And instead, I give myself the blessing to.
And instead, I give myself the blessing to have free will and choice on who I see as authority.
That's nice.
Yeah, I think it's about free will and choice for me, not... At first, if you'd asked me before we just started going through the process, the little sentences there, I think I was a little more adamant of like, no, no, nobody. You know, the little child says, no, no, nobody. But as I started to say that, I was like, well, there were just times that came into my mind where sometimes it, not so much authority, but just where I'll just say I deferred to their expertise in the topic.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really about authority or releasing my autonomy, but it was like, well, you know, I have a medical professional I absolutely adore, and she has always been spot on.
Yeah.
And I do honor her authority and her top area of topic for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I guess in a way I felt like I kind of wanted to make sure that.
That you still get to honor the people who really speak to you. Yeah. And that you don't have to listen to everybody.
Yeah, I think that was a big thing as a child. How many times are you... Oh, this was the other day, and we're in the middle of a pandemic. I could not believe it happened. And yet, you know, someone is saying, oh, go give Sharon a hug. And I'm like, no, they didn't want to. They're little, you know, they're a little one. Yeah. And I'm like, no, it's fine. Let's, you know, and I stuck out my fist sort of like a Power Ranger kind of thing. And from a ways, you know, and they did too. So it was sort of a, you know, fist pump at each other kind of Power Ranger thing, and that made them smile. It made me relax, and it was all good. But wow, think of those little ages where we're told to do these things that I could tell from the face that they didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it, not because I was concerned that they were going to infect me, but just to respect that face I was seeing.
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to take a quick commercial break. When I get with Sarah, you guys, I just love it because she's just awesome. She can go down rabbit holes with me. And I hope you guys are enjoying this journey down our different rabbit holes, because I just find Sarah's work so powerful, so loving, and so warm, and not derogatory at all, but simple and quick. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see results so fast, and then the results continue to grow and appear. It's just amazing to me. But I'm up against the clock, my dear. So everyone, take a couple of minutes during this quick commercial break. Just get a drink of water. Let what's been happening with Sarah and I soak into you. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from understandingautoimmune.com and sharonsaylor.com. And wouldn't you know it, I don't know if you can hear it on the recording or not, guys, but I think Sarah and I were talking during the commercial. My yard guy just showed up. Apologize for that if you hear that, but we won't let it distract us at all. You know, it's one of those things as podcast world that's bound to happen, right?
Yes.
So, anyway, we've been talking with Sarah Payton. As you've heard, she's amazing. She is author, constellation facilitator, certified nonviolent communications trainer, and neuroscience educator. And you know what I love about Sarah? She reads all the research. I love neuroscience research and understanding how that affects the body and healing, all sorts of things. I love that. Sometimes I get lost in the research. And Sarah's beautiful. One of her many beautiful gifts is she's able to dissect that research in her mind and put it with so many other research papers she's read and make it work for the common person to understand. So bravo, Sarah. Thank you. And that's why I love your new workbook, because there again, it takes all of those amazing new research in this whole field. I think to me, it's a fairly new field of understanding how.
Who knew?
Yeah.
How our brains are interrelated, how we are emergent beings, and we co-create each other in our interpersonal space.
Absolutely. I just find that it's fascinating that I call it a relatively new science, as I said, but it makes such logical sense. I don't know why it took us so long to get to that point of, maybe.
Well, I was just reading Daniel Siegel's Mind, which is one of his latest books, very beautiful. And he says that when he first started out as a pediatrician, everybody was publishing research that said that our genes predetermined everything, and it was no use even trying to change our parenting or trying to change anybody else's parenting, because it didn't do any good anyway. And that people were taking this research and they were defunding all kinds of parenting programs and defunding Home Start and defunding everything that was to do with helping around adverse childhood experiences, which of course now we see so much research that shows the importance of all of us shifting and changing our relationships with little ones, which is why I love the story you told before the break of making space for a different kind of connection that's not a forced connection with a little child, that we can wave at them, we can air fist bump, we can blow kisses. Sometimes I like to pretend I'm hugging the air and pretend I'm hugging the child, and that often makes a child giggle that they're across the room and I'm pretending to hug them here. Yeah.
Well, and knowing this one, when I did this sort of, like I called this sort of superhero fist pump type of thing, I know this little one and loves to run around thinking they're a superhero. So, it was entering their world a little bit and enjoying this idea. This old lady as a superpower hero.
Part of what research is showing us is that these relationships with people who are not our parents change our attachment styles and rescue us from traumatic and disorganized attachment. And so we are powerful beings in the world in our relationships with children. And to circle back around to all of the different kinds of contracts that we can have that impact health, let me just sort of list some of the ones that I see right off the bat, because it's not something I've ever talked about before. So it's kind of a fun area of exploration. And I'm starting from a starting point of working as a constellation facilitator working with health, where we'll set up somebody's condition. Like if you and I were doing a constellation and we were doing a constellation about your health and we were working in a circle with some other people, then I would say, Sharon, please choose somebody to be you and choose somebody to be the condition, to be the illness or the condition or the diagnosis or whatever it is. And then we see those two together. And there's often such deep meaning in the relationship. Most often when we do constellation work with health, the condition loves the person. It's very weird. You're like, my diagnosis loves me? What the heck is going on here?
I'm not sure I want that.
Yeah, exactly. And at the same time, there's within health questions, there's a language of deep meaning. Like if we have heart disease, how has our heart been impacted in this life? How has our love been impacted in this life? How have we been supported to be fully loving? How has our love had to stop itself in order to move? If we're working with allergies, what are the ways in which the world has been intrusive or indigestible? How can we speak to the ways that our conditions, our illnesses, our diseases, our diagnoses are saying no for us to protect us from a world that is overwhelming? Because we'll grow up and we'll be placed in a position as children where it's just not okay to say no. If we say no, we're impacting our mothers negatively, we're impacting siblings negatively, we're impacting fathers, grandparents negatively. It's possible for us to have very clear messages that saying no doesn't help anybody, but it erases ourselves if we never get to say no. So sometimes our conditions can be a way for our body to say no, even though we ourselves can't say no. So that's very important, to begin to claim our no's. And if you as a listener out there are thinking, how the heck do I say, I can't say no. What are you, I'm not going to just be able to say no. Of course you're not going to be able to say no, because you have a contract that makes you say yes. So we need to take a look at those contracts. If this is resonating with your body, take a look at the contracts you might have. I will never say no in order to, and if I look at my never say no, I, Sarah, solemnly swear to my essential self that I will never say no. And it's something very close to what you were working on. It was so that I will be loved. So that I will be loved.
Another one came up for me that's similar, is to keep the peace.
Yeah, yeah. To keep the peace is hugely important. When the peace disappears in children's homes, it's often physically and emotionally dangerous, sometimes even fatal. So we need to acknowledge the really high price that children have to think about paying if they're going to say no. Moms can become dissociated or depressed if we say no. We can lose the relationship with them, absolutely. Sometimes moms can't endure hearing no, and they turn away from us and we lose them altogether. And they're so important to us. As I say that, I just feel this very intense heaviness in my heart of just how much love children have for their mothering people and how much children need those people, need their mothers in order to be able to take the next step, in order to be able to get through the next day. So it's a bit of a journey, the disentangling of the no-nos, the disentangling of those contracts. But as we work with it, we can do partial releases, which is really sweet. So we can say, okay, I don't like that vow. I don't want that contract. I revoke that contract, but it's still really scary to live without it. I don't want to lose my mom. I don't want to lose the people I love. And so instead of saying no, I'm going to experiment with saying maybe.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, we get to take baby steps in our reclamation of our own knows.
Well, my version of maybe, I think, because I've learned this from you, is the word I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what came up for me when you said maybe. I said, you know, I bet that's why when Sarah has before walked through these different word choices and I wonder has resonated with me, if that's sort of my version of me.
It makes room. You know, they both make room for something maybe a little different.
And
I wonder, it's not, I'm not putting something on you. There's a genuine interest, a genuine curiosity. And if we bring that genuine interest and genuine curiosity to ourselves as we do this work, at work, if I can't bear to get let go of this contract, what can I bear to do? Can I bear to be incredibly warm and resonant with myself, even when I say yes and it's at a cost to me? But also, I mean, our diseases, our illnesses, our conditions, our diagnoses do sometimes to some degree protect us. And so it's very good to acknowledge them as being possible protectors, as well as being, of course, nightmares and burdens and horrors, which they can also be. But so there's one place where our health is at stake is with our nose. Because it is our life energy that we're giving away. And sometimes we need our life energy for ourselves.
Well, to me, I'm not diminishing anything because I'm just thinking about myself at this point. But I'm curious about, like, say a brand new allergy pops up or whatever that keeps you from going on that walk. Or I'm just kind of thinking out loud. Is that, to me, all of a sudden, this idea of, well, I didn't have the courage to set the boundary for whatever reason at that moment, but stepping outside and sneezing from all the pollen, maybe, is that what kind of we're talking about, where the body might intervene?
The body might intervene, yeah. But that's only one possibility. And we don't want to blame our bodies. We don't want to blame ourselves for being weak and then our bodies have to get sick. That doesn't help. It's deeper than that. It's more like, what happens if we love our body deeply for its efforts to love us? And then another whole area where we can have contracts that impact our health is with self-care. And so, for example, I've been struggling with blood sugar myself. So what is it like to begin to look at diet and to see whether it's okay to really pay attention? Is it okay to see the truth? I might have a vow not to look at the truth of my own condition. And if I have a contract not to look at the truth of my own condition, not to know my own blood sugar is in trouble, then I'll just continue to persist in habits that aren't supportive in the long run. And that's a contract not to look that results in a deficit in self-care.
We get a contract not to look.
Because it's too hard to look.
Too scary, maybe?
Too scary. We have to change our lives. We don't want to change our lives. We see this with folks who, you know, get heart disease diagnoses all the time. And their doctors are like, if you change your life, your heart can recover. And the person goes home and they're still drinking and smoking and not exercising and eating bacon because they cannot bear to make the change. They can't bear to see the impact on themselves, which can be a I will not look, but it also might be a I will not prioritize myself.
That's what I was going to ask, if it's multiple contracts, because it could be like, I don't want to disrupt my partner's or my child's life, or I don't want to disrupt the status quo, or, you know, because it's not perfect, but it's working, it's okay. Or, you know,
yes, many, many overlapping, knotted, interwoven, layered contracts that we just, as we bring the warmth and the curiosity to, we can begin to sort of untie the tangle of knots that's keeping us from taking the very best care or trying the next new thing or doing a little bit of alternative, or if we've always done alternative, doing a little bit of conventional medicine, you know, what is it that we haven't tried yet that we're being stopped from trying because of our contracts?
Now, time disappears do you know this? When we're with our friend Sarah, time absolutely disappears. We're down to lucky 13 minutes. We need to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to ask Sarah about her favorite part of her brand new book. So we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free, non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm just going to jump right in because you guys know Sarah Payton and what an awesome person she is. Her brand new book is coming out May 25th of this year, 2021. And if you're listening this later down the road, still get it. But I want to encourage you to get her book right away. Help her get to number one bestseller because, you know, the world needs her books. I mean, they do. Your resonant cell, guided meditations, and exercises to engage your brain's capacity for healing. That's as long a subtitle as my book. Anyway, that changed my life. And when I learned that her second book is called Your Resonant Self Workbook, and it's all about these unconscious contracts, that when I first learned that concept from Sarah, changed my world and changed my view of my condition and my diagnosis. So Sarah, tell me, as you were writing the second book here, and I know that you, as the more you uncover about unconscious contracts with your work with people, as you were writing the book, was there one portion that just popped out that went, wow?
Yes.
I mean, the whole book made me go, wow, but I was just curious about you because,
Yes, the part that I was most excited about was the level of detail that we got to explore the way that the circuits of emotion and motivation interact, and how we can have contracts like to change our anger into grief. So if you're one of those people who always cries when you get mad, it means you have a contract not to show your anger, and that grief is a much safer option. We have like entanglements between the circuits. Or if whenever we want to play, we start to get really competitive, then that's an entanglement. That's a kind of a trauma knot, but that's a contract. So if like we really want to play with a three-year-old, but we find that we become like, this happens to me, I become competitive. I start running faster than the three-year-old. And I'm like, what am I doing? And just like, oh my God, let me loose from this one, please. I love to play with little kids. And so, and that's an entanglement. That's a contractual entanglement. Like whenever we start to play, I'm going to win. That's a contract. People can have all kinds of interesting contracts with their sexuality, the ways in which our sexuality is connected with fear or connected with rage or connected with grief. And those are all signs of trauma experiences. And all of the trauma experiences can be worked with, both with the time travel, which you and I have stepped into in the past on past shows, and with this contract work, we can begin to disentangle. I think maybe I mentioned when we were talking about the contracts, one of the last times we were together, that I was working with this woman who, she sat down beside me and I said, "What can we do for you today?" And she said, "Well, I'm 67 years old and I have been terrified every moment of my life from the time that I was 3 years old. So I've got 64 years of terror in this body." And I said, "Let's look at your fear circuit. I mean, your fear circuit has some good reasons for being scared." And we put in her fear circuit and we put in the three-year-old that lived through the hell that she lived through. And as she looked at those two, it's like her brain started to make sense. We were doing constellation work where we're putting representatives into the field for the different elements. And as she looked at those two, about 10 minutes in, I looked over at her and I said, "How are you doing?" And she said, "I'm not afraid." Wow. This is the first time in 64 years that I've not been afraid. So as we begin to identify what is at play and to disidentify what is at play from our true essential self, then there are all kinds of things that fall away and new freedoms that come and new emergences that happen that are unexpected, unpredictable, and brand new, where at 67 years old, we can say, hey, I'm not afraid anymore. And I just love that work so much. I love.
What an amazing gift to yourself. What an awesome moment of realization. Now, I want to backtrack just a little bit, because I know we've talked about constellation twice in this conversation. Some people might not understand how that works. Can you just give us like a 1 minute primer on what is the word constellation so people understand that process? I love it. I think it's profound.
Yeah, it's a way to take a question out of our brain where it's just words and put it into 3D space so that we can look at it and so that we don't have to be it anymore. Like if you and I are doing one-on-one work, we can do it with objects. I can have a puppet and I can say, "Here is a little puppet. This is now a Sharon puppet." And the Sharon puppet is living through the life that Sharon has. And here's the mystery or the difficulty that Sharon is up against. So all of a sudden, Sharon doesn't have to be everyone in her inner world. She gets to see her inner world outside of herself and to begin to look at it from the outside instead of having to carry all the responsibility for it. And as we look at it from the outside, we can take different lenses, different contextual lenses, and look at the issue in different ways. Is it a family issue that needs to be named? Is there something systemic? You know, do we need to name the history of the oppression of women, you know, in our country? What needs to be named so that when we look at ourselves, we see ourselves with compassion and insight? So constellations are a way of taking what's inside, putting it outside, and starting to see what happens when the pieces move a little bit independently of each other instead of being stuck forever in their trauma pattern.
Right, absolutely. And sometimes if you've gone through it, there are human being stand-ins.
Yes, yes.
It can be as robust as that, shall I say. But some of my favorite is where there's a box of goodies and someone says, "So which in there do you want to represent XYZ?" And so you pull out the agate or the, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me too, is just the choices of characters. If you're doing it with the inanimate objects, puppets or boxes of goodies, it's always fascinating to me as I'm going through my own process. So, well, that's interesting. And I might quickly say, why did I choose that for that, you know, a stand-in? And then as it begins to unfold, I get, oh, I get it now. Yeah. I understand why this great big, the biggest rock in the box got chosen for that.
Right. That makes so much sense. And since COVID, we've been doing it in circles, but online, and we've been doing it with drawings. So one person is the drawer and the other people say how they look and where they're looking and how big they are and whether they've turned from people into stars or whether they've suddenly become, whether they're surrounded with leaping flames.
That's fascinating. Yeah. I love your work, Sarah, because it's so multidimensional. We can do it via Zoom with the whiteboard feature, or we can do it with a box of little treasures or puppets or our human beings in our world that can stand in for these things. It's amazing to me. And my dear, we're down to 3 minutes. I can't believe it. I feel like time's flown by. I looked at the clock a couple times going, did I put the right thing on the timer today? It just seems to have gone so fast. I want everyone to know how to get your latest book and talk a little bit about your third book, which is coming out at the end of the year.
So to get any of my books, you can go on your online bookseller and put in Sarah Payton, and the books will come up, the Your Resonant Self book, and then Your Resonant Self workbook. And then also Affirmations for Turbulent Times coming out on December 7th, just in time to be a fabulous Christmas present to all of your friends and relatives, which has wonderful like guesses about what it is like to be alive now with all its complexity and how much stress there is, and naming the stress and saying what we love as humans instead of stress. So it's a very sweet, that's a very sweet book also. So those are all on your online bookseller, or you can get your local brick and mortar store to order them from Norton. W.W. Norton is a publisher. And if you just want to be able to download the meditations, go to yourresonantself.com and download the meditations for free. And if you just want to find me and find my online courses, then go to sarahpayton.com.
And her name is spelled with an H. So it's SARAHPEYTON, sarahpayton.com. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts in our last minute that you want to share with people?
Oh, well, first of all, just I love getting on here with you. It is such a pleasure.
It always is a pleasure. And I love doing video now because I get to see your bright, shiny face as well as hear you.
Yeah, me too. And just to everybody out there who's listening, both Sharon and I really want you to be warm with yourself and to know that if you can't be warm with yourself, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It means there's trauma that has not yet been held. It does not mean you're wrong or bad. It just means there's trauma that's in the way.
Thank you, Sarah. Oh my goodness. I just love you. Love her, everyone. Enjoy it. Enjoy today's session. Be sure and pop over and get on the list for the pre-order of her new book called Your Resonant Self Workbook. It's all about unconscious contracts. Love it. And I want to call it like an action book instead of a workbook. I want to call it an action book. Anyway, everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Be sure and implement some of the things that Sarah was just sharing with us, because it has had a profound effect on my well-being and my optimizing myself every day, getting me past the diagnosis. Love you all. Have a great week. As I said, whatever your adventures, pop over, visit us on Facebook at Understanding Autoimmune, Twitter, Understanding Autoimmune, or the website where you can find this episode, as well as all of Sarah's other episodes, as well as all of the 320 other plus guests that we've had in all the years we've been on. So it's understandingautoimmune.com. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Do you want to be a better leader? Have better relationships? Become more self-aware? Be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.